Hey, this is Rebecca Dirks with PremierGuitar.com. You're here in Chicago at the House of Blues talking with Javier Reyes of Animals as Leaders, checking out your gear here before the show. And you've got the Ibanez 8 strings going on. You want to tell us about your guitar?
Yeah, so I have an Ibanez RG custom body with an ash body and a quilted maple top. It has just basically a sunburst on it with a perloid pickguard. The pickups that I have is basically the DiMarzio ionizer setup that is similar to Tosin's signature guitar. So fortunately enough to be able to have Ibanez, modify that for me. So that's my guitar basically. And this neck actually is a stock RGA neck. The first RGA neck that I guitar that I got from Ibanez. I like the neck, so it actually broke on tour and I asked them to just keep the neck and build me a new body. So that's what this guitar is actually. Standard tuning from the sixth string, seventh string basically. So E, B, G, D, A, E, B, and then we do a drop E tuning. It allows me to kind of think just sixth string or seventh string for the most part. I don't have to rethink like theory wise and chord stuff. I just think sixth string and kind of play. Use my, the lower register basically.
And what strings are you using?
These are DR 9 gauge.
What picks are you using?
I'm using these D'Addario, the Black Ice. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Or Planet Waves, rather. My role is basically I'm our own monitor guy and I play guitar in the band. So as far as what you see over here, this is a Line 6 StageScape M20D mixer is what we're using for our monitor rig basically. I get to have. I basically, map out what we look like on stage for the most part. Here's my rig, Tosin's rig, and then Matt's rig, and I get to send everything that we need to our in-ears. Here I have my wireless packs for our ears. All those, lines are basically hooked up to the box that we have center stage. So that's our monitoring rig. And then as far as my guitar rig, I'm actually using an AxeFX 2, which is running to this MiTek digital to analog converter, which is kind of this new thing that I really like. That goes basically to my Port City Pearl amp and out to my Port City cab. So I'm getting the benefit of a lot of digital technology mixed with a good analog technology.
What are you using kind of tonally in the Fractal versus the Port City head?
Well, for this Port City head, I'm basically using it as a power amp. It does have an EQ section, but I'm mainly using it as a power amp. I'm still using all the amp simulations from the AxeFX, but I'm not using any of the cab simulations because I'm using my actual Port City cab.
And what are the speakers in that?
I believe they are G50s or something like that. Yeah.
Like the Port City does the ported cabs.
Yeah, I think it's actually really cool. It allows the low end to breathe as opposed to feel like this muffled sort of tone.
And with the two lower strings, is that especially helpful?
It's really helpful, especially we like to do a lot of clean stuff. A lot of the thumping stuff really, really cuts through with that extra port. I'm a huge, Tosin started using them maybe about a year ago, and since then, I've had to kind of basically switch over just because it actually sounds that much better. I mean, and then for the functions that we're doing, before we used to go direct, but I think for the size of venues that we're using and what we're actually trying to feel with what we're playing, I think cab is actually probably a better way to go, at least for now.
And so when it comes to the patches and what you're using in the Fractal, are you relying on kind of a set couple of amps that you like to model, or are you going crazy like throughout the set?
No, I actually have about 7 or 8 different patches that I use throughout the entire set. Maybe actually just 6 actually. And for my rhythm tones, I actually have been using the Diesel and the Friedman. Here's my Friedman, right? The HBE, and then underneath that is my Diesel, the V4. I just like it. It has very like mid-rangey type of, cut, and then the Friedman actually has this very almost Telecastery type of tone that I really like. So
the two of them are just kind of blended to the sound that you like.
Yeah, I think it's perfect for that, kind of grindy type of thing.
So are those the amps for all of the patches, or do you do different amps?
For my cleans, I definitely use different stuff. And let's go up to that clean. Actually, for my slap tone, I believe I'm using just a Friedman. Yeah, the Friedman BE. So I'm a fan of the Friedman amp, big time. Let's see, for the clean, I believe I'm using actually a combination of a diesel and a USA clean. Yeah. So here, let's actually... Yeah, so the diesel and then the USA clean for basically for my clean, which is kind of... I don't know if how normal that is to use a diesel, but I kind of like it, you know, for the parts that I need to be playing, I need something that cuts and has like a good mid-rangey punch. And so I, you know, combination with the Einheiser that I'm using, I get an awesome tone.
Do you use a lot of effects in your signal chain?
I don't, mainly, primarily just a little bit of delays. And my favorite delay on this is the Plexi Shift. The other delay that I use is pretty much this. Yeah, see, this is crystals for my Tempting Time crystally patch sort of thing. I kind of use that for delays as well. Yeah, there's not much else on that one. Just, oh, here we are. Another key thing that I always do to my amps, if nobody knows, is in this kind of third or fourth setting, this tone location. For this clean patch, I'd have in the middle, but generally I keep it post, rather. And it adds a lot of low end, a lot of kind of bite to the tone.
And so you are controlling this with the MFC 101?
Correct. I'm using the MFC. That's pretty much the proprietary pedal for the Axe FX. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome. I get to move pretty easily throughout my, you know, banks and whatnot. On a few of my patches, I kind of have my looper always active, so I just have to hold this reveal button down.
Oh, great.
And looper turns down. Oh, well, this one doesn't have it.
Not on that one.
But for the most part, that's how I turn it on. And it's kind of awesome. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking some time to show us around the rig here. All right. So now we're here with Tosin, and you also play 8 strings, obviously. You want to talk about the Ibanez you've got here?
The prototype for my signature guitar. It is the Tosin Abasi model. And it's got signature pickups in it as well, DiMarzio ionizers. And it's the first Ibanez 8 string to feature a single coil in it. And it's got some really cool voicing options and slightly thinner body, Wenge Babinga neck, some cool block inlays. This really interesting sort of trans white, milky gray sort of finish, which I'm into, gold hardware.
And what's the toggle?
Toggle is for coil tapping, the humbuckers. Yeah.
And when you were developing the pickups with DiMarzio, what were you kind of going for?
I'm actually a fan of single coil pickups. So a lot of those qualities I find really useful for articulation with alternate picking and sweep picking and tapping. So I wanted to get a pickup that was a little lower in output, but had that sort of that articulation of a single coil. So we kind of zoned in on those qualities, but we also needed something that was focused in the mid range and clear in the low end and not harsh. So it's warm, but also has the potential to shred.
And you got it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So then there's this one, which is very eye-catching over here.
This is a bit of an experiment by Rick Toon. He's got a company with Bart Townsend, who machines the bridges and the hardware out of aircraft-grade aluminum. It's all computer-aided design. The neck is actually all aluminum as well in Tortex. Fan fret as well, which allows for, you know, compound scale. I've got a lace Alumitone. Wait,
okay, Tortex is in the finger, the fretboard's Tortex?
Yeah, the fretboard is made of Tortex, which is pretty weird. This is a bare knuckle nail balm, and this is a lace Alumitone. This is interesting. He's got this three-dimensional sort of knob system where the tone is on this other plane here. This has coiled tap as well. It's ergonomic, even though it looks like a hunk of like driftwood with alien technology plastered onto it. It actually sits at the perfect pitch, and it actually is contoured to my torso. So it's actually an extremely comfortable, highly playable guitar.
Does that neck is comfortable?
Yeah, I like it a lot, actually. Yeah, I know it doesn't look like it. It actually has two extra frets here, so the two lower strings go down a minor third lower. If I capo it, it completes the nut and it frets like a normal guitar.
Okay.
So this is definitely like experimental, but I really find it inspiring.
So are there certain songs you use it on, or just when you want to experiment a little bit more?
We're playing this song called New Eden, which utilizes this tuning, and unfortunately the Ibanezes are, you know, conventional builds. They can't really do this, so
yeah.
I've been forced to use it, but the Signature is my main guitar, so that is like what I use 100% of the time for everything else.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what tunings are you using on both of these?
They're both in standard tuning. This is standard to the B string, and then I drop the lowest string from F sharp to E.
Okay.
So I have three.
Same as what Javier's doing.
Yeah. This one is standard until you get to the seventh string, which goes down to A, and then it goes down to C sharp. So it's super low.
So what kind of got you into eight string in the first place?
Meshuggah.
Well, and now you're on tour with them. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for moving from 6 to 7 to 8?
I would say like learn your fretboard. Get good at simple things like identifying octaves, because you realize that the fretboard is essentially repetition. And so even if you add strings, it doesn't necessarily need to confuse you. So obviously go from 6 to 7, and I'd say compose material with the 7, because then you're developing, you know, fluency from your own creative mind as opposed to learning other people's songs. Start working out chord voicings with the extra string, and then once you're comfortable with that, you know, add the 8th string. I played on 7 for like 5 or 6 years before I even thought of getting an 8.
What kind of strings are you using?
DR strings, 9 to 74.
And picks?
I'm using these, my friend Misha Mansour gave me these black ice picks that are 0.55 millimeter. They're really thin. And they're a little bit bigger than a Jazz 3 and a lot thinner, and I'm in love with them.
How do you have this set up with patches, and are there certain amps that you're relying on most of the show?
All right, that's my clean patch. I just use the Shiver mixed with a dual reverb, but I find the Shiver is like an extremely clean amp. I guess it's based off the Bogner Shiva, maybe. And then for my slap tone, I'm mixing the Cameron high gain with a Friedman Brown Eye, which I love the Friedmans. They're almost like Marshall-like, but extremely articulate, very mid-rangey. And then for my rhythm patch, I'm mixing a Friedman Brown Eye with, I guess that's the model of the Diesel VH4, extremely aggressive and mid-rangey amp. Then for my lead patch, I'm using the Friedman as well, blended with a Marshall, which I just did today, actually. And then...
Do you play with it a lot like that, just change things on a whim?
Yeah, because there's so many amps and they all sound really good. And then if you're blending tones, it's always that search for two complementary amps, you know, that like give you that perfect middle ground. So I'm always like messing around, even though I probably shouldn't, but it's one of those units, you know.
Yeah.
And then for my Toldsworth yeah, that's basically the same clean patch with like the multi-tap delay.
So are you using a lot of effects in these patches, or mostly just on that one?
No, it's really simple. Usually if I want something to be wet, I'll use you know, some delay or maybe reverb. But essentially, yeah, I'm not really using much modulation at all. Maybe some compression for the cleans. But yeah, I could get away, like if this was a conventional rig, I'd probably have 3 or 4 pedals.
So how do you work the Port City rig? You've got the head and cab over here into the fractal.
Yeah. Normally I just go analog out of the fractal into the front end of the Port City.
Using it as a power amp.
Yeah, but we're not going through the effects loop. We actually are utilizing the preamp section of the amp. It's an extremely clean hand-wired point-to-point amplifier that's, you know, really got amazing tube tone. And I find that I like that volume on stage. It kind of influences the strings to you know, my sustain is a bit like fuller and stuff like that, as opposed to going straight direct. But the Axe Effect sounds great direct too, if you want to go that way. I actually blew a tube in the Pearl the other night, so I'm actually running this Matrix solid state 2-channel amp here tonight.
So do you always have that kind of as a backup, or did you have to get that when you blew the tube?
No, I have it as a backup.
I was gonna say, because it probably would have been easier to get a tube.
Yeah, but at the time I didn't have the tube. I still don't, and I don't know, I plugged in the Matrix, and I guess I'm kind of like lazy.
Nice. Well, if it's working for you, it's working. And then what kind of speaker cab is that over?
Oh, these are Port City OS-100 cabs. This is a vertical cab. It's 212 vintage 30 speakers. He's got this whole, you know, patented system for his cabinets where there's a port on the bottom, triangular baffles that allow for, you know, the air to move freely as opposed to being compressed against the back panel and restricting the driver. So really open sounding. You could walk around the cab and it's way less directional than a conventional enclosure is. I really like them a lot.
Awesome.
And then I'm running.
Are you mic'd up?
I'm mic'd out of that one.
Okay, so is this like a monitor?
Yeah, I got two. This is a horizontal 212 cab. And I believe there are G50 speakers in this. I forget. They're almost like refined vintage 30s with like less of a, like a high-end sizzle. So they sound smoother, but they're very close to vintage 30s. A friend of ours works at MyTech, which is a high-end digital conversion company. So basically, they make AD converters and DA converters. And he recommended that we try, instead of going analog out of the AXFX, we're going AES out of the AXFX into the MyTech, which then does the digital conversion to analog. And from the MyTech, we go into our power amps. Okay. So it's just a higher quality sample rate.
Up here on the floor, you're using the MFC-101 to control the AXFX, but you've also got this boomerang. How are you using that?
I use the boomerang out of the effects loops of the AXFX, which basically allows me to, if I want to record a distorted line and then switch to a clean tone, it'll keep the recorded line distorted, and then I can layer any sort of, you know, patch, you know, tone over it. So I use it to double myself. You know, there's certain parts where there's actually three guitar parts going on. I'll just loop the third guitar part.
Cool. And do you use it a lot during the show?
Yep. It's almost like I shouldn't use it because it's like a skill in and of itself beyond playing guitar, the timing, and then you have to record perfectly because it's going to be looping. So I've actually like, but I just enjoy that challenge. So it's cool.
So Ibanez came out with a 9-string.
Yeah.
At NAMM. What do you guys think? You think like 9-string's the next step, or are you pretty happy at 8?
I'm pretty happy at 8, but I think I could play a 4-string guitar and make really good music with that. But it's funny, the 9-string actually is tuned to a low C sharp, so I've already been playing in that range. Yeah, although there's a lot of possibilities with 9-strings. They should give me that guitar.
All right. All right, Ibanez. You're listening because obviously you don't ever talk to Toasted otherwise.
Right.
We really appreciate you taking your time before the show here to show us around the rig.
So,
this is Rebecca Dirks for PremierGuitar.com. If you want to see more rig rundowns, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel.